You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a long time. It's been over a year to a first run bald movie. I think that's how these go, Jim.
Yeah, that's how they start. Sure. That sounds right for my 1 year old memory.
I'm rusty. We're actually not back in the theaters yet, although Jim and I both had our first round of vaccination. Mm-hmm. So we're the end of the quarantine for us is nigh. And we're going to be talking about that. If you're not interested in the main event, which is Godzilla versus Kong. And I get it. If this is not your cup of tea, you might want to stick around until the mid part where we talk about trailers, because we're essentially going to be talking about what's coming for Bald Move late spring and summer. But yeah, we're here to talk about Kong versus Godzilla. If you are unfamiliar with how these first run movies work, we talk about our feelings about the film and just kind of general non-spoilers. There won't be any spoilers in this beginning take. Then we're going to spend a few minutes talking about the trailers of upcoming movies, which are essentially the next few months of what we're going to be releasing. And then after that, we will, for our subscribers and club members and patrons only, be talking about our in-depth spoiler feelings about the film. All right. Now we're back in the saddle. Jim, what'd you think about Godzilla versus King Kong or Kong?
Yeah, Godzilla versus Kong. Oh, boy. Do you remember when we did the Groundhog Day marathon this year? Or I'm sorry, last year, and it was all apocalypse movies?
Yes.
We watched a movie, probably the worst one in the batch, by a large margin, was The Core. This movie is The Core, except it also has monsters in it, which I think is the only thing that even comes close to redeeming it, is the monster stuff.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe how... I don't know. The rest of it is just junk. It's terrible. I don't even know why it's there, honestly.
Yeah, so the monster versus monster stuff is sublime. It's like really well animated. There's actually some characterization going on. Mm-hmm. Like, King Kong is the undisputed star of this movie. Everybody else is there to just provide window dressing and to provide a plausible reason for the next big fight scene or the next big jaw-dropping, you know, a special effects scene. And I feel like, I don't know, they need to take a page from the Fast and Furious book. Like, that too is just a collection of absurd action sequences.
Yeah.
With very thin human drama that kind of stitches them together. And what this monsterverse needs to discover is the equivalent of Dom going out on a balcony with Letty and pounding some Corona,
yep.
Not the virus, but the beer, and saying, yeah, it's all about family. And that's the reason they got to go to Qatar or Qatar and jump off a skyscraper. That's the reason they got to go to Scotland and drill a tunnel through the France side of the ocean. I don't know. I don't know geography or Fast and Furious, because no one gives a shit about that. And I don't know that this movie knows that, because there's huge, crazy plot. It can't even connect its own details, because, like, if you recall at the end of the last, you know, Godzilla versus all monsters, Charles Dance stole the head of Ghidorah, one of the three-headed dragons.
Okay.
And in this movie, the bridge guy shows up with, I think, that thing, but, like, how did he get it? Where did it come from? It's all preposterous. Some stuff was outright like infuriating, like insulting.
Especially as
anti-intellectual
podcasters. Oh yeah, the conspiracy theory shit is too much. The friends, I don't know why these kids are friends, because they clearly have nothing in common.
Sure.
Nothing
but contempt for each other.
Mm-hmm. Her dad is completely useless. Should have been cut from this movie easily. His only role in this entire thing is to gawk at something for about 4 seconds, and then they cut away from him. That's it.
Yep. And
that's
then it. He gives her a big bear hug to provide some kind of closure for the characters. But honestly, I had to look this up to make sure it was still the same dad from the first movie.
Right. And even that is 4 seconds and they cut away. Nobody gives a shit. Not even the movie.
Yeah. And I mean, really, Bobby Brown is like 35 now. Like, I don't this. We don't.
I mean, she's, you know, she is what she is. I think she's a good actor and she's going to continue to be. She's unfortunately in the bad part of this movie.
Yes.
There's also like the entirety of the kids' plot amounts to basically nothing. And we'll talk about it in the spoiler section. They could have been absent of this entire film and it wouldn't have made a damn bit of difference.
Yeah, I watched the Red Letter Media reviews and they're like this movie is basically like a 6-year-old smashing monster toys together, like playing on the living room carpet. And that's, yeah, like none of the action feels connected. Just so the plot is just we're going to get into this in the spoiler section because I think it's really funny to just kind of take a step back and lay bare the grandeur of the plot and how just literally nothing matters. But the praiseworthy stuff is these action scenes.
Yeah.
Easily worth the price of admission. I'm paying for HBO Max anyway.
Uh-huh.
I will never rewatch this film again, but I think I might just go fast forward through the action sequences because and you've seen them on the trailer. But what is amazing is how much more there is of that stuff. Kong and versus Godzilla at sea on a various array of aircraft carriers and destroyers.
Yeah.
So fucking good. Kong versus Godzilla is it Hong Kong?
I believe so. Yeah.
Kudos to the naming similarities, but like sure. That just the neon backdrop and how kind of slick and Miami Vice the fighting all looks is really cool.
I never get tired of seeing Godzilla breathe his radiation breath and just level shit.
So cool. It's so cool. And there's so many times where like the movie, because the movie knows what everyone's trademark thing is, you know, it's Godzilla ripping open someone's jaws and breathing an atomic fire. So many times the movie's baiting those moments and subverting them. Like I really feel like a person that loves King Kong and Godzilla made this movie. It's just that someone should have shipped off the writing responsibilities of coming out. It's like, here's our 5 set pieces. Give it out to a real group of writers to come up with plausible reasons. But I don't know. I mean, that's the shame is like, I know this stuff can be better. I didn't expect it to be. I was actually pleasantly surprised that the action was as good as it was. There's actually some really cool world building, I think, involving like King Kong species, which I could use more of. And I think the Hollow Earth shit is obviously stupid, but holy moly, the visuals.
Oh yeah. I don't care about a movie being stupid in its premise. If it's a movie, if you're coming into this and going, you know, I want to brush up on my science. Let me go see Godzilla vs. Kong. You probably don't have a very strong foundation of thought in the first place. So,
yeah. Yeah. What else do we have to say non-spoiler about this film? I mean, I feel like it's as everyone talks about review proof movies, and this is as close as you can get because like you either know you're going to see the big lizard monkey film or you're want to stay very far away. There's not much middle ground here. I'm in the camp that's always going to see these things no matter what. Unless it become boring. So
yeah. I did think there was one human plot that was close to passable, and it was the little girl. And maybe we can talk a little more in the spoilers about that, but I did not dislike that plot. I felt like it worked based on what I know about human primate communication, sort of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of worked.
And all of the moments worked. Like there's a couple of like kind of clever setup humor things, just basic stuff that you kind of saw coming a mile away, but it actually worked. You know, I had a genuine smile, genuine chuckle with these characters that I kind of sort of like, you're right. So I maybe lean into that, not force the Millie Bobby Brown with the kid from Deadpool 2 and the guy from The Bridge, and Paperboy from Atlanta, like maybe not force all that stuff next time. And I don't know. Any other closing thoughts before we get into the trailer talk?
No, that's good. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers have a chance to exercise their rights under the Patreon pact we've made by voting for the next pulp movie that Jim and I will be covering. If you're one of the elite few backers at the executive producer level, don't miss your chance to influence us. Hurry over to patreon.com/baldmove and vote in the latest movie poll before it closes on Wednesday morning.
And for all other club members, we've got an all-new episode of Lunch with Jim and Aaron this Friday afternoon. Catch the live stream at 1 p.m. to interact with us and your fellow munchers over on Patreon, or you can wait for the podcast to drop later that day.
If you want even more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
All right. Well, if you want to hear us like break down the plot and, you know, give Kong his due, check that out here as soon as we get done talking about the trailers. And the next Bald movie is going to be first run Bald movie, I should say, is going to come out April 23rd. It's Mortal Kombat, released to both theaters and HBO Max. I'll be seeing it on HBO Max. This trailer looks really good. It looks really entertaining and just kind of like, do you want to watch Mortal Kombat played out in live action and see some fatalities in live action
for the third time, except maybe this time good, hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know. That first one is fun.
And it's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah, it does.
This is a first time director, Simon McQuaid, I think. James Wan is producing this, who has got, of course, a storied horror background, indie background, and he just tapped this guy to like, hey, flipping the keys of the franchise to you. It looks great. It looks like it's going to be fun. I don't expect it. I expect it to be in the big monkey versus big lizard vein of not making a lot of sense, but the action being slick. This trailer has Sub-Zero ripping blood out of a dude's body, freezing it, and then stabbing it into his chest. Like,
right.
What more do you want? You know, you got a four-armed dragon dude ripping people in half. It's going to be a lot of bloody spectacle. Then the next month, May 21st, another Gonzo, a lot of pulp in these summer movies, as you'd expect. May 21st, Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder, director of Zack Snyder's Justice League. wrote and directed this movie. Alarm bells going off in my head. It stars Dave Bautista and I think nobody else. And it's a zombie heist movie.
I know, man.
Set in Las Vegas.
So the only reason I even care to see this at all is because one of the vanishingly few Zack Snyder movies I like is Dawn of the Dead. Which I think is his first feature film, and you know, I'm hoping that he can do again with zombies what he did in that movie, but I don't know, this looks a lot more over the top, a lot more ridiculous. I hope it's closer to Dawn of the Dead than it is to Sucker Punch, but I'm leaning toward an oh no on that, because the trailer makes it look pretty crazy.
I mean, Zack Snyder's all over the place for me. Like, I really, really liked what he did with Watchmen. I'm one of the few that I guess think that the movie somewhat outdid the comic books. I hate Sucker Punch. I really hate Batman versus Superman. I really hated Man of Steel. So I don't know. Like, it's a zombie heist movie set in Las Vegas. I expect this to be a fully stupid movie. But you know, I do kind of like zombie. I've got a soft spot for zombie films now, and Zack Snyder does a lot of crazy shit. And I like Dave Bautista. I really want him to have a cool career. So yeah, I'm pulling for this movie, and it's on Netflix. So again, yeah. But May 28th is going to be Gemini's. If everything goes correct, if we don't morph into a zombie variant of the coronavirus, we're going to be triumphantly turning to the theaters on May 28th to see A Quiet Place Part 2 with a baby. I don't know. This world is so brutal. Like, and I know they got like a soundproof oxygen fed baby chamber, but there's a lot of times she's just walking around with a baby and a handkerchief draped over her chest. And I've had a baby. Those things just make noises unpredictably all the time. No rhyme or reason to it. I want to believe in this because I like John Krasinski. I like Emily Blunt. They've added Cillian Murphy to the mix, who's a very good kind of creepy atmospheric actor. But I don't know. What do you think?
I'm excited for it. I really, really liked Quiet Place. So
same.
And judging from the trailer, it looks like they're going to go back and show sort of the beginning of the whole thing. I'm kind of excited about that because I do love, you know, sort of the beginnings of apocalypses. How they all start, and it, you know, that'll be exciting. And then we'll get to the quiet part, which will be probably a lot more tense and a lot less exciting action stuff.
Yeah, and I John Kay wrote and directed this. He had kind of lightning in a bottle the first one. I don't know why in the world he would take that. I mean, I don't know why he would run that into the ground. Yeah. Like, I don't think he would put a gun to his head and be like, make a stupid sequel to that. Yeah, maybe.
That's what it usually is.
But yeah, just like the baby thing is going to, I'm going in very skeptical about this whole baby. Maybe the baby gets eaten in the first 15 minutes and this will all be moot, but
Cillian Murphy eats the baby.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, it seems to be kind of maybe turning into annoying Walking Dead. The real threat is the people.
Oh, yeah.
The people, the people left behind by the bat people are the real bat people. It's like, okay, we'll see. Then June 25th, the crown jewel of the Bald Move pulp calendar. Fast and Furious 9, F9, they call it.
Is that a tornado status? What is that?
I don't know. That's like if F5 is the finger of God, F9 is the fat roll of Dom's neck.
And they're going to be multiplied this time, man.
How can you not love this trailer? Like, the first minute of it is like, first of all, I think it's like a 4.5 minute trailer. And the first minute of it is just Don intoning Don shit. Like, I used to live my life a quarter mile at a time, but now I'm a father. And then, you know, Letty comes in, a couple beers are pounded. No matter how fast you are, you can't outrun your past. Mm-hmm. Then we're introduced to who's the WWE guy?
Is it John Cena? Okay.
Bah, 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 bah. He comes in and we're told he's a master assassin, world class thief, expert driver, and also Dom's brother, his baby fucking brother, literally family coming back to fuck with him. I don't know. This movie's this gonzo. Crazier stunt. Dom Tarzan swinging over a canyon with a Mustang using a cable that he just smashed through a suspension bridge wrapped around his axle. So that or strapping a rocket to a Pontiac Fiero.
The Fiero. Like, that thing's just going to explode.
Those things caught on fire stock, man. What are you going to strap a rocket to this thing?
No, you don't need a rocket to rip the back end off of that. I don't like this trailer. I want to see this movie. It's going to be so much fun, but the trailer's just too long. The trailer shows you like every set piece. Leave something for the movie, dudes. Like, I shut it off after the 2.5 minute mark. I was like, okay, I get it. It's Dom's brother. He's come back. They got to fight. They're pitted against each other. You know, the Dom's whole thing is family. How's he going to deal with it? And then it was just action scene, action scene, action scene. It was just cutting to, you know, set piece after set piece. I'm like, no, I don't want to see all this. Just
Okay, so you probably
missed the
Tarzan swinging from the I hope this is a sign of confidence, like, you know, because I remember thinking when I saw the Godzilla versus Kong trailer, like, oh man, this is like the whole fucking movie, and it kind of is, but there's also, it was the tip of the iceberg in terms of like, yeah, Kong's on an aircraft carrier and Godzilla's gonna fight on it, but that scene lasts like 10 damn minutes, man.
It does, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think some of the humor in this series is getting creaky too, and there's a lot of that showcased in and that works. Like, I love the humor in like what was that, Hobbs versus Shaw?
Yeah,
because The Rock and Jason Statham have a lot of chemistry. I don't know that everyone in this cast has equal amounts of chemistry with each other. And some of the lines I didn't think landed exactly right. There's a couple of and the thing is, I haven't seen Tokyo Drift, and I guess a big character from Tokyo Drift is returning. That's the only thing that makes sense about how big a place this guy has in a trailer. And like these lines that just laid flat for me, like, I don't understand any of this stuff. So
it's been a while in Tokyo Drift. I don't know that I remember that movie very well. I remember not liking it very much.
It should be fun. Didn't we just discover that like all the Fast and Furious are on Amazon?
That might be true. I can't remember.
Well, I might have to do some live watches. We're working our way up to that. Then we have just a amazing sequence here. July 2nd. This just Fast and Furious sets off a back to back to back trilogy. July 2nd, Top Gun Maverick. You know, it's Tom Cruise. They've added Ed Harris, Jennifer Connelly to the mix. John Hamm. I saw him as like
briefly,
like looks like a broom up his ass. Air Force colonel is going to chew Maverick a new one.
Who wants Tom's job? I don't know.
maybe. I did not see him in the trailer, but Val Kilmer is listed in the credits.
Oh,
Val Kilmer is like human wreckage at this point. He's had something that's like I think he's had his like his vocal cords removed or something like that. He can barely speak. Yeah, he had some, it might have been thyroid cancer or something. I read a really interesting interview with him about 18 months ago where he was talking about just kind of like the pitiable state he's in physically, but like he's doing a lot of art and he's getting involved in this community stuff. And I mean, I've always liked Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the hell role there's going to be for him. Like, is he going to be some crippled, wounded vet, like just hooked up to a life machine with like, he's just going to be in a bed?
Maybe.
And Maverick's going to be Iceman. I can't believe it's come to this. And all you'll see is like Val Kilmer's eyes with a tube coming out of the bandages. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Well, we'll see. They don't really show him in the trailer, so.
No, but I'm excited for that one. And then July 9th, the weekend after 4th of July, Black Widow.
A lot of comes themes theaters of family. And
Disney Plus.
Going on. You got the brothers facing off in F9. You got the sisters getting together and fighting the rest of their family. I don't know. You got Jim Hopper from Stranger Things.
Sheriff What's Hopper his name? playing David Harbour.
Yeah, that looks like fun.
Yeah, playing big Russian bear. I like it. This is a gimme for Disney. Like, this is the opposite of high risk, high reward. Like, this is a character who is literally dead. Their story is absolutely over. It cannot either generate excitement for what's the new phase of Disney, nor take it away. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm looking for it to be a nice swan song for a character that they never did right by.
Yeah.
And probably should have. This movie should have come out 2-3 years, 4 years ago and been a trilogy, kind of like a gritty kind of spy thing. I think that would have worked. Essentially, all the stuff that they do with Captain America, just do with Black Widow.
Yeah.
And the final movie of the, well, that we've at least scheduled out is July 30th, The Green Knight. It's an A24 production starring Dave Patel. This is kind of like a modern twisted version of the Arthurian legend of the Green Knight. Sir Gawain?
Yeah.
Gawain?
Gawain. Yeah, it's the worst name ever, but sure.
And what sold me is this trailer. Like, this has burned me before, but this looks like a Arthurian legend with like the witch aesthetics.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely felt like I was watching a Robert Eggers production yeah. here, looking at that.
Yeah.
I don't have like a particular fondness for the Arthurian legends. We did watch Excalibur not too long ago doing our super serious film fest stuff when we did the fantasy thing, and I sort of got into it. That was fun, but Gawain is not a knight that I was really super interested in. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes, but the movie looks interesting at least.
Yeah, I hope it's not like, because what's that one that was like a cure for wellness or whatever? It's like, because I got suckered in by the same aesthetic, man.
Yeah.
Like, you desaturate a film and higher slick production values and some lush cinematography, and you throw in a couple of Del Toro style, kind of like out of nowhere, just like a Del Toro style monster in the last third of this trailer, and I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. I hope the production value isn't the only attraction. Anyway, that's the movies we're going to be seeing this summer. We are now going to skip over the midline here and get into spoiler territory talk. All club members and patrons, you can follow us. Everybody else, hey, go to support.baldmove.com if you want to hear our spoiler filled takes. We're going to be getting back to the first run movie format big time in 2021. Lots of movies coming down the pike, especially when we get closer to Oscar season. It's going to be a little bit more prestige, hopefully, because we've been pulp heavy. It's been just been pulp, just all over the place. Low hanging pulp.
It's kind of what they're making nowadays. A lot of pulp stuff,
especially in the summer. You're going to have your big summer blockbuster. It's almost all pulp. But yeah, go to support.baldmove.com if you want to hear a spoiler filled review.